Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a stay?
What's the date?
Of mine. Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Wednesday. It is the last day of our broadcast week. It is the 10th of August in the year 2005. And Alan is with us. Alan Watt is with us again this evening, folks. And if you were not listening last night, there is a possibility that Alan is not going to be able to continue his work unless there's some help coming forth. And maybe, Alan, we could mention it just briefly for our listeners who weren't tuned in last night. But, folks, I think it behooves all of us to extremely appreciate and listen and to what has been offered, what has been presented. Alan Watt, I've said this a long, long time ago, he brought us out of the dark ages and into the beginning of coming into the light, if you would, of the truth. And I would really regret if we wouldn't be able to have him on, or if you, those of you, many of you I know who've had conversations with Alan, wouldn't be able to get a hold of him. Hello.
Hi, this is Jason from Michigan.
Hi, Jason.
Are you on air tonight?
Yes, we're on right now, honey.
Okay, because they're playing Pete Peters in your spot on 5070.
You're kidding me.
No, I wish I was.
Oh, my goodness, Jason.
Maybe you better call WWCR or whoever.
Call W. Have Nicholas, if you're there right now, would you? We need somebody to this. Nicholas, Jason, thank you, honey.
Okay.
Alan, did you do that?
Yes, Jackie.
Nicholas, one of our listeners just called and said that WWCR is playing Pete Peters right now.
Okay, I'll call him.
Thank you. Would you get back with us?
Yes.
Thank you. God, Alan. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, let's not just sit here, because we would be on the internet, and we do have internet listeners, and so shall we continue?
I don't know if we're on that or not.
We're on the internet.
Yeah, and I know Pete Peters is still on the shortwave.
Yeah. Well, why don't, rather than just sitting here, though, because we do have internet listeners, this is being broadcast on the internet and on C-band satellite, Alan. And so, hello?
Hello, Jackie.
Yes.
This is Jim Mullen calling from Buffalo.
Hi, Jim.
I was trying to get your show on. 5070's got Pastor Pete on tonight. I thought tonight was your night.
Well, it is our night, and Nicholas Arthur is calling from WFAR to find out what the problem is, Jim.
Okay.
They said they'll rectify it immediately. Okay.
Nicholas, thank you very much. What the heck? They'll rectify it immediately? Alan. Alan? Have I lost Alan? Oh, folks, this is ridiculous. It sounds like I've lost Alan. And, Nicholas, if you would please be kind enough to play some music. I'm going to have to go off line in order for Alan to be able to get back with me. And he said when he tried to call me earlier that he was getting a busy signal. I was not on the phone. Nicholas, if you could stick some music in, I would appreciate it very much. I don't want to go off the air and just have dead air time, but we've lost our guest, folks. Well, the only way we're going to get Alan back is for me to go off the air. And, folks, if you'll just stay where you are, and there might be 2 or 3 minutes of dead airspace here, stay where you are. I have to go off in order to bring Alan back up because we're on. There we go. Thank you so much, Nicholas. I'll be back, folks.
The land of the free. Has anything changed, Alan? Sweet liberty. Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan. Or is it a state of mind?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back with Alan Watt. And, Nicholas, thank you very much for filling in there so we didn't have to have dead air time. And I suppose we will get some type of a credit from WCR for putting Pete Peters on in our place tonight. Alan?
Yes, sir.
You know, that's interesting. This happened, and you got cut off.
Yeah.
And tonight when you were trying to call me, you were getting a busy signal. Well, I happened, even if I had been on the phone, uh-huh. I have call waiting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know that I can take a call.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I thought you were supposed to be on tonight.
I am. Who is it?
This is Alan.
Alan, WWCR said that they're going to rectify it, and so just stay tuned. Evidently, Pete Peters was put on in our place tonight.
That's what was funny. I turned on to your program, and I heard Pete Peters. I thought,
okay, well, now, Alan, is he still on?
I don't know. I just came to the phone to find out.
Well, all right. Run and take a real quick check,
all right,
would
hold
you?
On just a second.
All right, Alan, we'll talk. So if Alan is...
What I've got is please stand by on the shortwave. That's all they're saying.
Please stand by?
Yeah. That's just been announced.
You know.
Well?
Yeah, Alan.
Yes, they're playing that music. Don't you, you know, that thing where they put on this tape and says, we're trying to rectify the problem. They put on this silly music.
Okay.
And we're making a trip. We're trying to rectify the problem.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
The bad thing is you've lost about 5 or 6 minutes of your program.
Of course
time.
We have. Of course we have.
Eight minutes so far.
Eight minutes so far, actually, Alan.
Oh. Yeah, I'll be reimbursed for that.
Well, we will. I'm sure we will. All right, thanks for calling in, dear.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. So they're still trying to rectify it. I wonder what the problem is.
It's trying to decide how to flip that switch.
How to flip the switch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's complicated, that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, what I wanted to talk... Remember last night... When I said that there was a subject that I would like us to address, you to address, I know that we touched on it. Yes.
Jackie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jim again. You're on.
Thanks very much.
Welcome.
Jim.
Bye.
Bye. All right, we're on the air now for our shortwave listeners, folks. I'm sorry for that mix-up. No, I'm sure WWCR is sorry because it wasn't us. But Alan... What I would like you to address tonight is the Israel identity, Christian identity. And I know that you've said, well, you know, it's all part of the thing and all that, but there are a lot of people, I don't think, who understand what that entails. Where did it come from and all of that? Would you be willing to kind of expand on that?
No, I don't really like talking about it. I'll tell you why.
Why?
We've done it before.
But not to any length.
It's like going back to kindergarten, and if people can't understand the basics of what's happening in their lives at this precise moment, they don't stand much of a chance of what's rushing down upon them. It's almost like trying to start right back at scratch, square one, to bring them up to date, and there's no time. All we need to know is the Christian identity has royal approval. It's chartered by the British royalty as part of the British Empire movement to convince the public that Britain, or London, put it this way, we get confused with terms of nations. These aren't nations. These are capital cities with elites living in them. And so London, really, about 200 families in London run the British Empire. And, of course, they use every psychological means to do so. And there's nothing better than appealing to people's ego, telling them they're superior or special, and using religion to back it up. That's an ancient technique that's been used for thousands and thousands of years in all empires. And all the British Israel movement is another one towards that global agenda. And the idiots that follow it, I have no time for, to be honest with you. I think there's petty little elitists, even the poor ones. There's nothing worse than looking at someone who's poor but believing that they're superior because God told them so, and looking down their noses at other people. It's a snobbish thing, a snob appeal. And it also, as I say, furthers the whole movement of globalism, which will not end up with a utopia for the people. It's going to be hell for the people, but a utopia for a small group of elitists who've used them all. And it's chartered, as I say, all of these movements that are interlinked. I might even say the latter one, who was just on the show, and your time space. It's all part of the same thing, whether they try and deny it or not. They're all part of the same grouping of elitists, you know. And God's made them superior, and it's their right to rule the world, as against you, you know. But it has royal charter approval, and that tells you all you really need to know.
You're saying that British Israelism.
Yeah.
Has royal charter approval.
Yeah, it's a registered, it's chartered by the British
and
royalty.
And this is where...
Like the banks are chartered in Britain
and
by
this,
the royalty.
And this is where the whole Israel or Christian identity movement came from?
Yeah, I mean, it started off with a nutcase back in the 1800s who was eventually locked up by the royalty as a being insane because, well, he thought, since we're all the children of Israel, then... I've traced my lineage back to David, so I've got more right to sit on that throne than you do. So Queen Victoria had him locked up in an insane asylum, but then her advisors thought, you know, this is a good idea. If we can con the people of the Commonwealth to believe that that they are the real people of Israel, then they'll go forward with our agenda for globalism and say that it's God's work. And that's been used ever since, you know. And of course, they have the same. They use racism. They use everything to justify it, and they have the white Anglo-Saxons at the top and Germanics, and then they have a sliding category right down to the dark-skinned people, and you're graded like eggs, you know, grade A, B, C, or D, and if you're D or C, then tough luck because you're not supposed to hang around in the near future. So this is the whole nonsense with this movement. It's a snobbish, elitist run political agenda using religion for the idiots that actually follow it, but then followers are always pretty well idiots and they're always used, and it's going to simply end up with globalism, and at the end they better pray to their deity for help being so special, because I don't think they're going to get much when it all comes down. Unless they belong to the inner circles of the elite, which very few of them do.
I guess I always have that hope in my heart that there will be people that will hear and suddenly see you know, the idiocy of it, because it is idiocy. It's beyond my comprehension. And I just always think maybe there's somebody out there or some out there who suddenly will get it, Alan.
Well, I tell you, see, we're all going round in this big whirlpool pool right now. And there are thousands of organizations and religions all fighting each other, all fighting petty differences, each one given to the people, each one of those religions given to the people, like tailor-made suits. And they bought them. And they're all fighting each other as they go round and round and round in this whirlpool, and they can't even see as they fight each other the big drain, the hole at the bottom that they're all getting sucked into. And that's all intentional. When you create chaos or an age of chaos, you use every group that you have created to fight each other and keep the confusion going. And that's where they all are right now. They're going down that big sinkhole. Because every day there are laws added upon laws, and Joe Public is too busy with his petty little hobby or his favorite topic, which is generally himself or his religion, to see what's really happening. And to deprogram people who've chosen this is too strenuous a task, and there's no time left. It took centuries and centuries to build up this technique of deprogramming people, and right now we're at a stage where we don't have the time to go after individuals and do it for them. We're running out of time very fast. Yeah, I was watching traffic today as tourists were just going north, and I thought, you know, not one single one of these vehicles will have an occupant who's even aware or is even thinking that this lifestyle will end eventually.
Oh,
they truly believe this is going to go on forever.
And they're going to be able to afford the gas to take their trips.
Even as they're scraping to do so now,
yeah.
That's right.
And you said Rumsfeld had made the statement, maybe we didn't hear it here, I've not seen it or heard it,
mm-hmm.
but that here in the States, that they're going to be actually doubling the present cost of gas.
Yes, and that was the same speech that he said that they might use tactical nuclear weapons on Iran.
They're real crazies, aren't they?
No, they're not crazy. They planned this a long, long, probably before I was
born. You
don't
think that's crazy, Alan?
Yeah, it's crazy with an intellect, yeah.
Yeah, crazy with an intellect.
Yeah, so sure, you know, they know what they're doing because they plan it so far ahead. And I've no doubt something will happen this October because that's when Mars will be the closest it's been for thousands of years.
Oh, the warring planet.
And, of course, the Red October was the revolution for Bolshevism. And red is their color, by the way. That's why the British Army had the red headband round the officers' hats.
Red
you see the color red, that's their color.
They had red coats too, didn't they?
Yeah, but nowadays they still have the red band around their hats.
Oh.
And so, by the way, do the Chinese officers, you'll notice.
Oh my.
Because the capitalists in London created the communists. That's why. That's why you had Red Square. And Gene Roddenberry is the Red Berry, you know, the Star Trek episode.
Roddenberry, Roden Red.
Yep. Their color is red, and it's been red for thousands of years. Yeah. The mystery religion, that's their color. And they run all religions. That's why the symbols, all of the symbols that the British Israel movement used were all taken from the mystery religion, and the idiots that follow it don't even know that. Even their logo, which is the Templar-type cross, which means the sun, the S-U-N, is superimposed over the St. Andrew's cross, which is the X. And, of course, that's the illumined man. That's the symbol of the illumined man. They don't even know that. They're very ignorant people. They only know what they've been told. And it doesn't occur to them to investigate it themselves.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Some of these people have... Of course, somebody probably taught them, but I read a thing the other day. In fact, I put it in a file because it was amazing how this individual went through the, quote, scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they never talk about some of those statements that don't make any sense at all, that the special and chosen people are going to loan to nations and borrow from none.
Well, the main thing that the British Israel are always quoting is that the promise given to Abraham and so on was that his seed would be as the you know, the stars of the sky and the sands and so on. And of course they say, well, it can't be the Jews because there's not enough of them, so therefore the British Empire was the biggest one in the world, so it must be us. That's the con game that they go with. That's what they play by.
Well, they go through a lot more than that, but...
But that's what they play about. That's why they keep trying to justify this pathetic movement. And by the way, the British Israel movement is the World Federalist Association. It's one and the same thing. They're both chartered under the two names, the same organization. They used to call themselves the World Parliamentarians, and now it's the World Federalist Association. And they get massive funding from all the foundations and Rockefellers and so on to make everybody, all these gophers, work towards globalism. And these gophers think it's going to be a utopia for them because they're God's chosen people. All these British people extract or Germanic and all this stuff. And they're all slated for extinction once their job is over. That's the traditional way of things. Those that run this system are cost-effective. They don't believe in useless eaters. So once the job is over, there will be no North America as you know it, or Britain. Britain's already changed so much so that you wouldn't know what country it was. You might think it's from India.
In other words, and we were talking about that earlier, or in another conversation, that for the time being, although Canada and the U.S., and Mexico have been merged, they're still playing the game with passports and stuff like that at the borders.
Yes, but the idea of that is to bring in the universal identity card.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They're already advertising on radio and television that you can get a quick pass, a pre-screened pass through your border with this new ID card.
You're kidding.
No.
And it's the same one that... that England is putting out now.
Same company that manufactures them is the same card.
And it's the same card that will be the real ID.
And your bank card.
They call here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And do they have a name? Are they using it in Canada now, too?
They're going to start issuing it with the next licenses, I think, this coming year. So as you get your license renewed, your driving license, you'll get the card instead. But you'll have to go in and get fingerprinted and eye scanned.
Well, I'll tell you what, I read the bill myself,
mm-hmm.
And what they have done is they've said, they laid it out, you know, what requirements are going to be, the identification requirements,
mm-hmm.
in order to get this ID card.
Yeah.
But it also says that the Secretary of Homeland Security can add any other requirements that he feels are necessary.
Yeah, it's wide open.
So it's a czar, it's a totalitarian, I wanted our listeners to think about this. I know that I did say it earlier when we talked about this, Alan,
uh-huh.
But it isn't just, you know, one of the things that it said in the bill is that the states are not mandated, you know, to implement it.
Mm-hmm.
However, any state that doesn't, nobody in that state will be able to board a commercial airliner.
That's right. The same in Canada. That was announced.
That's right. Well, that's because the federal government has control over the the air transportation.
The powers
of
the air. Yeah.
But what I want, the first thing that came to my mind are the federal highways.
Yeah.
Because the states have been very, very busy turning their highways over to the federal government.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to a rep in Illinois about this, and he said, "Well, it's because that way they have to maintain them." And I said, "Yeah, but they take all the taxes out of the states to, quote, maintain them."
Yeah.
And he admitted that they use the road taxes to blackmail the states into passing particular bills.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, there are federal highways, the main thoroughfares where people do their traveling are federal highways today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, and this, they call the real ID federal identification.
Uh-huh.
And it has to meet federal specs, and so therefore, my thought is, if you're on one of those federal highways when this thing is being fully implemented,
uh-huh.
and you don't have a real ID, you're gone.
Yeah, or if your vehicle is not up to what they call federal standards.
Yep.
Which are international standards.
It will no longer be the states mm-hmm. that make those. Well, they don't much anyway. They're all, but, I mean, at least at the present time, it's a how do you call it, if a state decided, like Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
It's been some time, but when the EPA mandated the MTBE to go in the gas,
mm-hmm.
Alabama state legislature just passed a bill and said, no,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to do it, and they didn't. But see, the other states go along. Same thing in Arizona when they passed, they said that ozone is no longer, you know, usable.
Mm-hmm.
And for our listeners who may not know this, DuPont was the company that produced ozone, and about 3 years before their 25-year patent ran out, that's when they began to talk about global warming, folks,
mm-hmm.
and the hole in the ozone layer, and that we got to quit using this Freon, because Freon was doing it. Well, it was DuPont that patented the new coolant, which there's reports on it, Alan, that it just tears heck out of the equipment, and it's nowhere near as effective.
It is effective. It's so much effective that it keeps breaking down.
Yeah.
And they're guaranteed after-sales parts. That's where the big profits are.
Yeah, exactly. And much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But Arizona, and I've got the bill, actual bill, the state of Arizona or Arizona State passed a law and said that we find that there is no harm from ozone with, you know, from all of the, there is no hole in the ozone layer, et cetera, et cetera. And so in Arizona, we will manufacture and we will sell and we will use ozone. Now, I don't know if they've retracted it since then, but it was a bill and I actually saw the bill signed. I mean, I got an actual photocopy of the original bill. So what I'm saying, long story short, is that there were certain states that did certain things at certain times and they got away with it because they could. But with this real ID thing, they really got slick with it, didn't they?
Well, all must become one.
They didn't have that. The states aren't mandated to use it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to. We can't mandate to the states.
Yeah, so all they do is the big companies say it's impossible to make a special different gasoline for you, so, you know, if we do, it's going to cost you twice as much, and they cave in, they go along with it.
Yeah.
You can't fight the corporations. This is the system. It's like Carl Quigley said, that the corporations will be the new feudal overlords, and that's what they are. You know, they're dictating our public policies to the people, and they're doing it via governments which they already own. And in fact, most of the politicians have worked for these corporations, and then when they leave politics, they go back into those corporations. So yeah, this is the ping pong. They used to call it fascism at one time, but that's gone out of vogue. But it's the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they dictate their policies to us, yeah.
Well, like Rumsfeld was on the board of Searle Company
mm-hmm.
that manufactured aspartame.
That's right. That's me crossed him out with that.
And they tried forever to get it through, and they knew it just wasn't passing. It wasn't being approved because how dangerous, and it's a killer.
And he's a director
and
then, on the board of
Well, then
Sierra.
He came, yeah.
And he's a guy also that's, Sierra is just a part of the company of Monsanto.
Sierra.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was pronouncing it wrong.
And they are the ones who are a company which is a drug manufacturer which specializes in psychotropic drugs for psychiatric illness is hand in glove with their main food producer. That should ring alarms in everybody. It really should. And if it doesn't, well, I'm sorry for those people.
Monsanto? Sierra? Is that
Sierra is part of Monsanto.
Okay. And folks, in case you wanted to do some research...
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked questions of Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Succession from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back with you folks with Alan Watt. The volume was turned down a little bit, and I did not hear the warning, so we were talking into the commercial. And what I was saying, that I, in case any of you want to do some research on this, Alan had told me about the company Sierra, and I read it and saw it regarding aspartame and wasn't pronouncing it correctly, so I wasn't connecting the dots. But that company is spelled S-E-A-R-L-E, and as Alan just told us, it is part of the Monsanto company, and Sierra is a pharmaceutical, Alan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how did a pharmaceutical produce aspartame?
Well, aspartame is a chemical, and they're all offshoots of the chemical industry that the pharmaceutical industry. In fact, the whole pharmaceutical industry is an offshoot of the chemical companies. What they can't use is drugs. They'll call something else and try and sell it for any other purpose, as they do with the aluminum oxide that they put in your, it's fluoride, you know. That was aluminum waste. So they found a purpose for it through Alcan, the Bronfmans in Canada, when they owned it. And that started the ball rolling for a nice, strong, healthy teeth, you know. Aspartame was basically some byproduct of some experiments within Sierra Company. And as I say, this company specializes in pharmaceutical drugs which deal with psychiatric problems. And aspartame is a very good, in fact, it's very similar to cocaine in a sense. It makes the people hyper. And it can also cause some seizures in a lot of people. So once they come off this, you'll find that the hyperness goes away and so do the seizures. It's a very potent drug.
Oh, it causes cancerous tumors, brain tumors, and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's totally destructive.
Sure. But Rumsfeld he's always been a main salesman for the big chemical companies. In fact, the CBC television after 9/11 showed when the U.S. was selling the various chemical weaponry to Iraq back in the 70s. It was Mr. Rumsfeld they showed you shaking hands
yes.
with Saddam Hussein. He
yes.
was over there to sell them all these weapons. And when he's not selling lethal weapons openly, he's flogging other weaponry through your food or your drink. This is what you have at the top of your government. We have tyrants at the moment.
What is your prime minister's name?
Oh, at the moment, it's Mr. Martin.
Paul?
Yeah.
I remembered the Paul. I couldn't remember his last name.
Uh-huh. And his father owned the main Canadian, they still call it the steamship company, that does international cargo trading. So they made their money off governmental projects where the taxpayers paid for cargoes of grain or food or whatever to other countries. And all the boys at the top are interlinked through the same very, very high Masonic organizations, way above your 33 degrees.
You know Alan.
Uh-huh.
I know, because we could just keep repeating and repeating and repeating, and it's coming to the point
mm-hmm.
where people hear it, and if they don't do their own research, if they don't believe it,
mm-hmm.
and they don't do their own research so they can see that it's so.
Uh-huh.
Then it is too late. And this is way off topic, and maybe it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Amber today, and she was telling me that she made character counsel.
Uh-huh.
This is a 12-year-old girl, okay? I said, well, what is character counsel? Well, we teach character. I said, are you telling me that they have 12-year-old children teaching character? I said, at 12 years old, you're building your character. Don't you think that's a pretty big responsibility, honey?
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to be teaching other people character, and what does it mean? And then she said, well, we just, we get together and we plan dances and stuff. I said, well, like student council? Yeah, it used to be student council, and now it's character council.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up on the internet. It's a damn international, not-for-profit organization.
Mm-hmm.
At international, they named all the states that are character states. They named the cities within the states, the counties within the states, and they named the countries that are
promoting it,
Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, let me say this. If you have children in school, by hook or by crook, any way that you can, if you... It sounds stupid to say if you love your child, but isn't that part of what loving is, or the main thing when a child is a child, Alan, is protecting those children?
It's supposed to be, yeah.
And they have to be taken out of the schools because you'll lose them unless it doesn't matter to you. You will lose them. They will lose their minds. Because their minds are being stolen. And that's. I just wanted to say this about that.
Yeah, but this is... see, you're not going to stop this because this is all part of...
I didn't say stopping it.
I'm
talking about people who are listening to this broadcast right now, Alan.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, Jackie, is that people have been saying the same thing for 100 years. Because when Bertrand Russell brought his first book out on this very subject, he was part of the experimenters for these schools. And he brought it out in 1905. Of course, the media went into action. There were still some people who had a voice in those days. And they said the same thing, that this is an attempt. It was more than an attempt. It was a plan. And Bertrand Russell said it. He said, if we can get the children for even 4 hours a day, he said, away from their parents in kindergarten, he said, we can indoctrinate them with the new values for the world. And he said the parental input will be of no effect because we are using scientific, socialistic indoctrination techniques. So this was known for 100 years, and people have been bashing at this for 100 years. And at the same time, you know yourself that most people are so dependent on this only system that they've been given. There's no alternative to it. That they can't afford private schooling, or they're run off their feet trying to pay their home and the car and all the rest of it. So they're trapped within the system. And the law says you must send your child to school, one way or another.
No, the law does not say that.
Well, teach them, regardless. But the fact is, you know, they've made it almost impossible for the average person to teach themselves, teach the children themselves. So you're up against a monster that goes over the future like generals over a battle plan. and they look at all the possible conflicts, the repercussions, and they literally plug every hole. And that's where we are.
No child left behind.
Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, this is in the communist system and the Soviet system, the whole Soviet Bolshevik system was planned at least 100 years before they took over, because they knew exactly how to set up the system they had in mind. There was no debating about it. They went into action immediately. And they had children in the young communist movement doing exactly the same thing. And that was going around the schools and so on, 12-year-olds, ones who were specially handpicked, and it was just political correctness. It was a new agenda of the day, and they were basically parroting what they'd been told. They had little gold stars or red stars for saying the right things, and of course that was being promoted. You can call it whatever you want. It's the same program. It's the same program under 1,000 names. So sure, you can't. You're under attack from 1,000 directions right now, and your eyes cannot be everywhere at once. And that's what I'm saying. That's where we are right now in the whirlpool. And you can't even keep up with what's happening.
I know.
So the international system has been established. You know, it's actually been here for a long time, and they simply kept the borders there and the pretense of nations so they could keep taxing you. That's basically it. And the U.S. is simply finishing off the last vestige of a different type of system in the Middle East. And once that's done, well, the British Israel and identity movements and all the other gophers will have no jobs to do. They'll be equaled down to the peasant of China. That's where they'll be.
Oh, the peasants of China.
Yeah, because
are
now
doing
the,
well
new,
today.
The new catchphrase they're using on the media is that, gee, we must compete with China. Well, that's a race to the bottom.
Right.
And that's what's being promoted right now. And anybody with any part of gray matter left in their brain that still has a spark in it must know that if we try and compete with labor in China, our standard of living is obviously going to plummet. And that's exactly what is planned.
China, I read about a magnificent whatever we would call it, where the elite go to vacation now.
Yeah.
And when I read that, it gave me chills, because you can see how China is being promoted to be what? I just guess the destroyer.
Well, they have to, according to the 1937 minutes of the meetings they held in Melbourne, Australia, for the Royal Institute of International Affairs and the CFR, and I have the books. They said in 1937 China would be the sole manufacturer of all goods for the planet. And when they said that, China was a third world nation. That's how far back they had this planned for China. They even talked about the coming war with Germany and that they must save the Soviet system by all costs. They didn't explain why. Escott Reed from Toronto, who helped draw up the charter for the UN with Alger Hiss, the communist, so this Canadian, Escott Reed, put his own memoirs out, and I have the book from the 1937 where his kin even said, we are here to discuss a global system, a world government. This was all discussed in 1937 in Melbourne, Australia. And I have a list of all the politicians from America, from the US, from Canada, from all over the world who attended it, because their names are on the back of the book. We are simply living through a script written long, long ago. And in that same book, in the 1937 one, they even had the immigration quotas from China right up into the year 2000 and just after, that they would need to be the middlemen for the trade goods, for smoothing out the trade difficulties between China and North America. they had the quotas of immigrants they would need for the west coast of Canada, like Vancouver. So that's how detailed they make their plans. And when you find this stuff and you go through and you check up what they've done, they tally exactly. You know exactly where. The world is just one big business program. That's all it is. It's a business agenda. And we are the business. The business means buzz. We are the bees, you know.
Yeah.
And that's
we are
cause,
the economic,
you know, that's what we're here
units.
For. Yeah. So yeah, we're living a script, a business plan, and we're going through it. And as we go through the age of chaos, which they said they'd bring on, there's no better way than to bring all of this whole brand new way of living that will emerge out the other side. That's what they keep telling us. Completely different way of living. As they bring us into the vortex and to bring us through it, or the ones who will come through it, they have everybody fighting everybody else on petty nonsense from a previous age. This has been done before, and they're doing exactly the same thing again. The intellects way above the politicians are way beyond people that you've met in your daily life. These are real intellects here, but we can't dismiss that. These are not politicians above the ones that we generally see. These are the rulers, and these people have minds almost like computers, and they have no compassion whatsoever. And I mean no compassion on an individual or even a national or even a global scale. They will do whatever it takes, as they keep telling us, the end justifies the means. In other words, if they need part of this agenda rushed through, they'll do whatever it takes to make it so. And the Twin Towers was nothing to them. These are the same characters that brought on Pearl Harbor.
And
World
sunk
War
the main.
Yeah. So yeah, and meanwhile, everybody's fighting everybody else over religion. Or the race issue. And all the other stuff that they know so well. They're old tunes they can keep playing over and over. And everyone's been programmed to dance to these tunes when it plays. And they do. And they can't see beyond it all. And this is the time now when you must see beyond it all if there's going to be any survival for anybody at all.
And
because
what about
we're going through it.
What about people? Well, look at even with yourself, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
As you were talking about last night,
yeah.
You're not sure you're even going to be able to survive the winter.
That's right.
And there are people, so you're not in the city.
No.
But, of course, they're making it nearly impossible for people to live in the countries,
mm-hmm.
because of the increase in gas.
And taxes.
To get you to the store, the property taxes are increasing.
Mm-hmm. Environmental laws.
Yes, and it goes on and on.
Yeah.
And then we have people who are in the cities and do not have the means
mm-hmm.
to leave the cities.
Yeah.
As much as they would desire
mm-hmm.
and want to do it. So, you know, it comes back down to making the time to be like parents with their families, Alan, with their families. They have to work. They have to work to be able to pay the bills. But instead, maybe, of parents, you know, sloughing the children off to a babysitter so they can go, maybe the most important thing that people can do today is to be together and really just cherish the time, every precious moment,
mm-hmm.
that, and give to your children not $80 tennis shoes and trips to Six Flags and Disney World Because that isn't really what children want anyway, Alan.
That's what the system wants.
That isn't what they want at all. They want their parents to look at them and see them. They want their parents to hear them when they talk. Not just listen, but really hear them.
But what they need is direction.
I know.
And children who don't get direction from their parents will take it as they did in the communist system, in the young communist movement. They'll take it from the leaders. The Hitler Youth were the same, because children need direction. And if they can't get it from their parents, the state or the system will give it to them instead. That's traditional. That's been used for thousands of years. Again, it's another tune, and they know how to play it, and we know how to dance.
Well, you were you mentioned Bertrand Russell.
Yeah.
And I've done this before, but I'll do it again. The statement that he made, he was maybe still is, I don't know, but at this time, UNESCO advisor.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it may be hoped that in time anybody will be able to persuade anybody of anything.
Mm-hmm.
If he can catch the patient young and is provided by the state with money and equipment.
Well, the two main books, anybody who wants them and can read it all today, apart from a glowing tube in front of their face, they can order them, and it's Roads to Freedom is the one book that gives you the global agenda with adults and children, and Education and the Good Life is the one about the whole education program that they've used right up until the present time. And that's got it all in there. All of it.
Well, there's one more sentence here I want to do for our listeners. He said, when the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in control of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen. Now,
yeah, once you all have a brain chip, there's no problem. I mean, that's what the function of all this is.
Roads to Freedom and Education, The Good Life?
Yeah, the whole scientific technique. He put out another book. It was called, it was on science, basically. And he laid the whole thing down to do with scientific techniques, including the same stuff as Aldous Huxley was on about the brain chip and so on, and how they could use all this to control everybody. And once that happened, the people had no individuality in them, then they'd have their utopia. But the elite themselves would not change themselves, that's what they said, because they must retain their survival capabilities. But the public won't need them anymore, since the state will be making all their decisions for them.
What do you say to a person who calls you and says, I'm not sure what to do?
Uh-huh.
I'm beginning to see the light, and it's very frightening.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to them, Alan?
It depends who they are.
Well, okay. What would you say to me?
Again, it's not something you sum up in a couple of minutes. You go through the whole person. You've got to get the persona and the person. You've got to break down all the different parts of that person, and then give a response that's suitable to that individual person. You can't give the same talk to every individual. You must tailor-make truth to jump over the hurdles that person has in their particular individual mind. And everyone has a different response to things, and they have different hurdles or walls in their mind, so you must literally tailor-make it for the individual so that they can jump those walls themselves, and it must be done by themselves. You can show them how, but it must be done by them. That's why it takes a lot of work for every single one. But I should mention the three books before we go off the air.
Yes.
They're called Cutting Through 1, 2, and 3, and I go through the ancient Freemasonry system prior to the guild movements of the Middle Ages, and right up to the present day. I give you a lot of the Masonic coding that's used. It's all through your language. In fact, they created your language for you. And the third one goes through the history of this, as well as the history of the money system, which they brought in thousands of years ago, and how they used it to implement their system, which they call civilization. That's what they mean by it. It's their system, and how they control nations one by one through takeovers, financial, or through using warfare. And they're $25 each, and that's payable by U.S. international postal order, must be international, from your post office. And my address is Alan Watt, W-A-T-T. The address is Site 41, which is S-I-T-E 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is like Fred Astaire, only with an E, E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada. And the postal address or the code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. And I'll get them out to you once you get the next batch made up. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't just give a pat answer for a mass of people, because everyone has their own particular walls and variations of them in their mind, and you have to literally go through dozens of them with each one, and you must be able to see into that person in order to do so. And that takes a lot of work.
And you've done that with people?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep, and as I say, it's a lot of work, and it can take years sometimes on a one-to-one basis with many, many different people, but individually, one-on-one, to get them right up and out of it.
And then what happens when they get out of it, Alan?
Then it's a whole new journey from there on. And again, you don't hand that truth to everybody either. You just don't hand out truth. Most people can't handle the truth. Some things are very, very, very precious. And most people are so stuck in what they want themselves that they can't handle the truth. And that's why it's what they mean, they trample it underfoot, because they don't see it for what it is. So you don't hand it to them until they're ready for it.
Well, we've sure been doing enough of it.
We've done an awful lot, more so I'd say than any other program. And we certainly don't do it as a business. That's for sure.
That's for sure. And folks, that we're out of our week. And Alan's phone number is 705-695-0416. And anybody who feels that you have extra and can give him some help during this upcoming winter, why don't you give him a call and let him know.
Roll away the dough.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to